I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dr. Peter Hammond, thank you for the privilege to be here for the second year at this very special seminar, meaning a lot to me and my wife. I want to say glory to God. It's not about me, it's about Him. Back to the Bible, mission belongs to Him, and He's done so much miracles at Back to the Bible, miracles in Africa, but miracles also with us. Glory, and thank you very much for the privilege. Now, I've been asked to speak about Christian courage. Christian courage. Now, if you think about Christian courage, it's much easier to say that it's Christian heroes. And I think this morning we've listened to two heroes who taught us. Dr. Peter Hammond and our brother who spoke to us about gun control and everything that goes with that. Yes, but if we speak about Christian heroes, then I think we have to revert back to the Bible. And if I would ask any one of you, tell me, do you have a Bible hero, a Christian hero in the Bible? And I think immediately it will come to your mind about Daniel being in the lion's den. He must have been more than a hero, strong in the Lord. If we come to think about this young lad, probably your age, David, facing Goliath. The people at that time, they thought, this young guy, he's mad. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to kill himself. But he was a Christian hero. Then Stephen, he was stoned to death. Now, I think you and me, we have a number of questions when we speak about Christian courage. Now, first of all, even for me, what is the meaning of Christian courage? Now, and why is it needed? What is the result of Christian courage? Because you're all young, your life is still ahead of you. For me, I can almost look back over 77 years of my life, how the Lord God pulled me through difficult situations, even in Angola, fighting the communists and the Cubans. If I look back, then I just realized the greatest hero of all ages, Jesus Christ, He saved me. He is the number one. He is the number one Christian hero for me, and I believe also for you. Now, to have Christian courage, surely, you and me, we need Christ. We need to be a Christian. To have courage without being a Christian does not mean a thing. That means you want to go it alone. You will not be able to go it alone because you will not make it without Christ. To have Christian courage, if I'm a Christian, yes, then I belong to Jesus Christ on earth, and it means I'm belonging to the family of God, representing Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of it? If you're a Christian, even amongst your peer group, and if you will speak, you will actually speaking on behalf of Jesus. What would Jesus do in such a situation? I'm speaking, if I'm a Christian and I have the courage of Christ, then I'm speaking and living on behalf of Jesus Christ, because He is my backstop. He is my Savior. He saved me. I belong to Him. Now, another question. Why do we need Christian courage? We are living in this world being ruled by the evil one. We have been saved by the grace of God and God alone. We are God's ambassadors. Yes, we are representing God, and an ambassador must speak on behalf of his country, on behalf of his king, on behalf of his president. Yes, and we've been sent by God. So that's why we need to do it. We are tempted by the evil one. We must live a life of our calling, because God made you and me. He gave us the talents and the gifts, yes, and He made us to glorify God. Now, Christian courage is needed to swim upstream against the flow of the public opinion. When everybody does something that you, as a Christian, the ambassador of Jesus Christ, who has got the courage of Christ in you, that you will be able to say, no, sorry, I don't agree with you, we cannot do it. It's not easy to swim upstream. It's not easy to say no if everybody says yes. What does the Bible say about Christian courage? And for that reason, for me, this topic is actually a Bible study. And I would like you to take note that I've got 5 Old Testament examples of Christian courage, and I've got 5 New Testament examples of Christian courage. The very first one is about Ruth. It's about Ruth takes a risk in Ruth 3, verse 1 to 6. Yes. So, it took courage for Ruth, because Ruth steps out and takes a risk. Ruth took a risk in following her mother-in-law's instruction. What allows a Christian to take risk, you and me? First of all, responsibility. The sense, the need to step out, to do something about the situation. Secondly, initiative. To act even when no one else goes before. To be a self-starter. I always tell the students, back to the Bible, to be a self-starter. And for Africa, I must admit, it's very difficult. And I'm an African. I'm an African in a white skin. It's difficult for us to take initiative. I always tell them, don't have a wheelbarrow mentality, which means I've pushed you, I've helped you, and I've left you yesterday, and the next morning I'm going to find you right there. You have not done anything. Have a self-starter mentality. That means to see something that's wrong and to do something about it. Then thirdly, sacrifice. Make sacrifices to make things work. Sometimes it's difficult. And you have to decide, will I do something or will I not do it? It's much easier not to do something, but it takes somebody who has got Christian courage to say, guys, this is wrong. Let's change the subject. Then lastly, knowledge. Possess enough information to trust the decision. This is what I gather from Ruth that took the risk, listening to her mother-in-law. Then secondly, it's about 1 Samuel 7, verse 1 to 17. It was all about Samuel's influence. Samuel's influence. One person with courage makes a majority. If you have courage, you can change the course of everything. Now, it didn't take long for the Israelites to get a taste of the leadership of their new judge and prophet Samuel. The prophet's influence grew daily. When the people trusted him, they were delivered from the Philistines. So the ark returned to their land and enjoyed peace in the land. He became by far the most influential leader of the day. But how did he gain such influence? What made everything listen to him? At least three indispensable qualities gave him the influence he wanted. First one, he was very competent. He was competent. God blessed Samuel with many, many gifts. He heard from the Lord, he could see the future unfold, and he wisely knew what to do in crisis situations, as we've learned this morning from our brother. Secondly, it was all about his character. Unlike Eli, Samuel exuded integrity and honesty. Honestly faced each area of his life. People trusted him and knew that he had Israel's best interests in his mind. They considered Samuel utterly trustworthy and depended upon him to intercede for them with God. Then lastly, connection. Samuel knew how to connect with people. He spoke their language, he expressed compassion for their predicaments and brought courage to their pursuits. This one person could make a big difference and a whole change of every situation. Then thirdly, Ezra 3 verse 7. It was permission to take risks. And as far as that is concerned, I would like to say, people need permission to take risks if you have the courage from God. Most people, you and me, need permission to take risks. By issuing his proclamation, King Cyrus modeled another leadership principle. Cyrus issued a decree to all the Jews that they could return to their homeland and begin again their life there. Now, a risk like this is tough for most people. Usually, the Christian must step forward and give men skill and women permission to take risks. Step out and make sacrifices, yes, to your own detriment. Most people generally take the path of least resistance, even us, and migrate toward comfort zones. That's where we feel happy. This is why Christians and leaders must both model courage and call for courage from others. Number four, Jeremiah 15. I want to read for you from Jeremiah 15, verse 15 to 21. One person standing with God. One person standing with God. 15, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered and even rebuked. Now, to keep bleeding is not easy. To have courage, one person standing in the gap with God is invincible. Now, Jeremiah, he asked God to remember the stand he took. Lord, remember what I did. Now, Jeremiah acted with courage when no one else seemed to be able to do so. In three short verses, we read what Jeremiah endured in his struggle to stand courageously. He was neglected in verse 15. He was mistreated, also verse 15. He was lonely, verse 17. He endured continual discouragement, 18. He felt let down by God, verse 18. In verse 19 to 21, God gave his prophet courage by giving him a picture of himself. Yes, God allowed him to stand and see a vision of Yahweh. Secondly, the picture of the people. God confirms Jeremiah's view. The people are stubborn. Thirdly, the picture of victory. God reminds him that the Lord is greater than any circumstance. Right. Then number 5. Ezra 28 from verse 19. From verse 1 to 19. Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel 28. Now, Ezekiel speaks with courage. He was strong in the Lord. He spoke with courage. Now, Ezekiel could speak the hard truth to the king of Tyre because God had deposited in him certain things. First of all, God had deposited in him a dream. He saw what God saw, a preferred future with just leaders. Secondly, God had deposited in him a desire. He had a desire to see change and to be part of the solution. We all want to be part of the solution. Nobody wants to be part of the problem. Then thirdly, decisiveness. He recognized what needed to be done and he chose to step in. Fourthly, daring. His courage to act outweighed his fear of the king. He stood in front of the king. He was strong. He was brave. He had courage. Then his dedication. He remained committed to fulfilling his call, whatever the cost. He knew the direction he was going. He had a clear plan for change and for the future. And lastly, he depended on God. He knew God would never let him down. He relied on God to do what only he could do. This is only a few examples of Christian courage from the Old Testament. I'm sure you can name a big number of other heroes of the Lord. Now, I would like us now to have a quick look at the 5 New Testament examples of Christian courage which I've singled out. First of all, Matthew 3 from verse 1 to 10. Matthew 3 from verse 1 to 10. Now, it is about the courage of John, demonstrated courage in his leadership position. Now, John confronted Pharisees, common people who lived hypocritically, and even King Herod himself. Note how his courageous leadership demonstrated itself. First of all, John preached a clear message. John cared more about his integrity than about his image. And for us young people, it's very important, my image. What do my friends think about me? He sacrificed it, even before the king. John had stronger convictions than his critics. Now, how did John become so courageous, so strong in the Lord? What helped him build his courage? His mission was deliberate. His job was so prepared for the coming of the Lord. His message was decisive. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." His motive was direct. He had Elijah's voice crying in the wilderness. His manner of doing was completely different. His clothes came from camel hair. He ate locusts. His principles were deep. He believed people must exhibit the fruit of repentance. His method was daring. He was challenging. He directed people to confess their sins and be baptized. His mind was discerning. He perceived the pretenses of the Pharisees. His ministry was developing. He drew people from all over Judah. This was my brother John. Now, let's go to John 2, verse 13 to 21. Here, Jesus did the unpopular thing. Yes, to accomplish the unforgettable. When Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, everyone understood this loving shepherd was dead serious about justice and righteousness. He could lead people because he didn't need people. His courage came from his sufficiency in his Father, Father God, which allowed him to carry out unpopular tasks and leave his unforgettable mark. Jesus, the ultimate hero, the ultimate Christian hero. Let's have a look at number 3. Acts 4, verse 10 to 13. One person can be a majority. One person can be a majority with courage. Yes, in Acts 4, we see courage on display in the life of Peter and John. These two leaders were thrown in jail for preaching and for performing miracles. When their captors asked about their ministry, Peter boldly asserts that the name of Jesus, not their own talent, had healed the man. Yes, he was not trying to excuse himself, but he just referred them, saying, it's Jesus who did it, it's not me. He also explains that salvation comes through no other name but Jesus. What accounted for his boldness? How could he be so bold? Yes, not his education, but his experience with Jesus Christ. Now for us Christians, we need courage. All Christians need courage to seek the truth. You never find yourself until you face the truth. Secondly, change. Courage is the power to get to the power to let go of the familiar. Thirdly, we need to express convictions. Convictions help us to stand alone. This is what I believe, and this is why I stand by what I am saying. The test of courage comes when we're in the minority, when everybody says yes, and I have to say no. We need to overcome obstacles. Whatever you do, someone will think you're wrong. Expect trouble. Project courage. Be strong in the Lord. Learn and grow. You haven't learned until you step out and take a risk and do something new with the help of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Take the high road. Everybody's on the low road. There is no traffic jam on a second mile. Leadership, to be a Christian with courage, is the expression of courage that compels others to do the right thing. Let's carry on. Now I'm getting to number 4. Number 4, 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Once more, to take a stand. Take a stand. We need to be brave to make a stand. Now, in these verses, Paul knew how important it was to encourage Timothy. For the young leader would have to take a stand in many tough situations. So he charged him to take courage and to do what was right in difficult times. Paul knew Timothy was young and he had to teach him what he had experienced already. Now, courage is the first essential quality for effective leadership. Leaders initiate and take a stand when no one else travels with them. If you want to be a Christian hero with courage, you will have to be able to stand alone for Jesus, for what he did for you. There is something to prevent. Chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. We Christians must flee temptation, run away from it, such as pleasure and power that ruin their personal lives. Yes, there are some things to pursue for you and for me. Chapter 2, 22. We Christians must chase after qualities that will build our character and integrity. Number 3, some things we have to portray. Verse 24 to 26. We Christians must model right attitudes so that others will want to submit to God. What we say does not count as much as what we do. Some people, they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they look at you. Is that a Christian? Is that how he behaves? Is this what he's saying? Is that his language? If that is the case, then I don't want to be a Christian. There are some things to perceive. We Christians must read the times and take responsibility to hold firm to what is right. And lastly, there is something to pronounce. We Christians must hold forth God's word and use it as a standard for training. Not easy to have Christian courage, but God is expecting it from you and from me. Then lastly, number 5, 2 Peter 2 verse 1 to 6. 2 Peter 2 verse 1 to 6. Yes. 2 Peter 2, destructive doctrines. But there were also false prophets amongst the people, even as there will be false teachers amongst you. You will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. This is what the Bible says. We Christians, brave Christians, we need to stand for what is the truth. Now, Peter earnestly warns his readers about false teachers. Now, God has chosen to punish them and rescue them, those who stand for what is right. Peter illustrates his point by contrasting self-appointed leaders with godly leaders. The fall of the angels, God cast them into prison to preserve the godly. Secondly, the days of Noah, God saved the flood, but he rescued Noah. Thirdly, the destruction of Sodom, God destroyed the city but spared Lot. It is never easy to take a courageous stand, to be a brave hero for the Lord Jesus. There is always a price to be paid. We've heard from our brother this morning, he had to appear in court, and people were just praying that he will not go to jail, because what he did, it's always, it is easy to take a courageous stand. There is always a price. It always seems cheaper to stand for the easy. Stand for what is popular. Stand for what is comfortable. Stand for what is convenient. Stand for what is beneficial. And stand for what is wrong. Friends, this is what the Bible tells us. This is what the Bible tells us to be a Christian hero. It's not easy. But God will help you. God will bless you. If I think of some practical Christian heroes, then I'm thinking of C.T. Studd. I think I'm Amita Michael, another missionary sitting there, our brother Arnold van der Spy and his wife, for where they are and what they're doing. It's not easy. They're not on holiday, long holiday. They suffer for Jesus Christ. But they have the Christian courage to go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outskirts of the world. To go and do the impossible. But they're not only doing it. God is helping them to do it. Yes, Dr. Peter Hammond, he was in jail because of taking Bibles to the people in countries where it was not allowed to be a Christian. Yes, our brother who stood at the church when they started firing, what he did, he's a Christian hero for what he did. God helped him. Can I ask you this morning, how brave are you? How brave are you? Are you prepared to stand alone? And you will not be alone. God, Lord Jesus Christ, will be there. If you're going to speak on his behalf, if you're going to make a stand on his behalf, he will be there. Where do you stand this morning? Remember, Jesus Christ had Christian courage to die for you and for me at Calvary. May God help you and me to have Christian courage, never ever to deny Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I would like my wife just to come and tell us something, one story, which will be 3 minutes, mommy, keep it short. 3 minutes about people who were brave for the Lord Jesus. Please.
Good morning, family of Jesus. Joy to be with you. There are so many people throughout the history of this world, and even recently, as my husband told you, sitting here with us this morning, people who are brave, people who got courage from God to do what they knew was right. I would like to mention one and then tell you a story about another one. I'm thinking of Corrie ten Boom. Anybody who knows her?
Yes.
Wow, I'm glad you saw the film. They were brave, that family. They knew that the Jews were loved by God, and they hid them so that they were not killed. They sacrificed their safety to hide these people. And eventually she was thrown at Auschwitz into very cruel circumstances. And when she came out of that great suffering with great courage, it was so difficult for her to forgive. But then she traveled the world, telling the world, love is stronger than hate. God used her wonderfully. But the story I would like to tell you is the story of a very cruel monarch in the northern part of this country and in the northern part of this world. He hated Christianity and he killed everybody who had Bibles or who followed Christ. And his bravest soldiers, 30 of them, were saved, born again, when they were challenged with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he found that out, he was furious and he condemned them to die. And he said, let's think of the cruelest death. And he said, he'll put them in the middle of a lake of ice and they had to freeze to death. And as the 30 people stood there, without clothes, shivering in the cold, there was a the bravest man he had was standing at the edge of the lake with a fire burning, with a table full of food and the clothes there. And then he said, he was shouting on the megaphone, shouting, "If you deny Jesus Christ, you are free. Come and have lovely food here, and your clothes are here, nice and hot. If you deny Jesus Christ, you are free." And they kept singing, and the singing became softer and softer, and one by one they dropped down and died. And then, at the end, when dusk was setting, they sent these other soldiers to go and pick up the dead bodies. But one of them shouted, "I'm denying Jesus. I want my freedom." And he ran from the group. And then he walked into town. He was free. But at night, when they had died for their faith, living for Jesus, they counted, and there were not 29, there were 30 bodies. And what happened? The courage of these people made that this man marching at the side and challenging them to come out to deny Jesus. He said, "These people are willing to die for Jesus." So he took off his clothes, he ran to them and said, "Lead me to this Jesus. I want to know this man, this God for whom you are willing to die." And your challenge this morning is, do you know Jesus? Are you born again? Are you willing to die for him? Are you willing to live for him? Because he can give you the courage. You know, we stay on a farm and we don't have guns. We believe that God will protect us. We lock up everything. We have dogs around the house. We do have protection. But you know, sometimes they kill you with your own weapon if you have a gun with you. But we pray, and for a certain time I was very scared. I thought, well, what will happen if they charge in here and kill us? Of course we'll be in heaven. But I said, "Lord, then just very quickly, if we have to die like that." But the Lord told me, "Give your fear to me." And whenever I just want to start becoming afraid, I say aloud, "I will not fear, because Jesus Christ is with me." And I want you to say that. "I will not fear, because Jesus Christ is with me." Let's say it together. "I will not fear, because Jesus Christ is with me."
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can belong to you, that you saved us miraculously. Lord Jesus, thank you for the examples in the Bible of all the Bible heroes who had Christian courage. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for practical heroes even in our days. Thank you for the missionaries going behind enemy lines, some of them being secret believers, proclaiming Jesus Christ. I want to pray for them, bless them, help them. Thank you for those who are in jail, who keeping their faith in Jesus Christ because of Jesus. You will care for them, you will bless them. Will you make us Christian heroes for you while we're around on Mother Earth? Lord Jesus, thank you that we know that you will reward us in this life and even in heaven. And my prayer is, Lord, when I will get to heaven, that I will get a bravery decoration for what I've done for Jesus Christ in Africa. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen.